Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Out of the Voice of Intuition podcast. That was a great start. The Voice of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host for the podcast. And today we don't have any special guests on. Today you've just got me. And I wanted to explain, well, first of all, why I started this podcast over 140 weeks ago, because I'm up to around 142 for this podcast. So I've been going for quite some time, and my intentions for doing this podcast was all about enabling you to have another area that you could look at to get a bit more information on how you can trust your intuition or how to empower yourself. And I don't say empower with an E, I say empower, mainly because empowering means you give permission, whereas empowering means you do it yourself and you go within and you get that strength and that understanding behind you. But today I wanted to talk all about goals. And why I didn't have a guest on to talk about goals, because everyone else can talk about goals, because that's one of my specialities. This is where I start to blossom. I love talking about goals. Now, there is obviously lots of different types of goals, but what I want to really focus on is our emotional goals. Now, when we start another year and we start to sort of get those goals and we get that understanding of it, we often refer to SMART goals. Now, your SMART goals are ones that are S for specific, M for measurable, A for attainable, E for relevant, and T for timely. So we have this little rules that we follow. So something specific, I always have trouble with that word, say exactly what you want and do not be ambiguous, be very clear. So when you are creating a goal, you're writing these down and you're making sure they've got all these elements in place. And look, I remember doing something like that many, many years ago, way too many to count. I think I was still at high school. And they were asking us what we wanted to be, what were our goals in life, what we wanted to be when we grew up. Now, I really struggled with that because I didn't have any particular goals. All I could think of was I just want to help people. That was my goal. And of course, I got roused on for that. No, that's not a goal. That's definitely not a goal. And yes, it isn't a goal in the context that they say it's a goal. But for me, that's what all I wanted to do is I wanted to be able to help people. And I didn't know what that looked like or how that was. And of course, straight away, they try and tunnel you into an area where, oh, maybe you need to be a nurse, or maybe you need to do this, or maybe you need to help in this way or that way. And so they would try to railroad me into jobs. Or a career. And of course, a career is not me. A job is not me. That's just what I do. And if I can have a job or a career that allows me to follow my emotional goals, then I'm on the right track. So what happened at school is that they tried to get me into these jobs and everything else. Well, you know, I just didn't like that at all. So I did what I wanted to do and then basically left home and traveled around Australia. And on my travels, I met different people and got a better understanding of who I was and where I wanted to be. Now, what is an emotional goal? What is it differently to, why is it different to your regular SMART goals? One of the things that I really wanted to get a clearer understanding was why was it so important to write these goals down in this particular way and not have that emotional attachment to them? Because it was very, very analytical the way they were doing it, which was fine. And it's really good to do that. But when you achieve those goals, you often feel a bit flat and a bit deflated because you have actually achieved that physical goal and the intentions for that, but you have not actually achieved your emotional aspects to it. You sort of get there and you go, well, I've achieved that goal. Now what? You know, you haven't got the feelings that go with it. So one of the things that I wanted to look back at, and I'm just going to pop back into what was happening in my life, because I want you to get an understanding that our emotional goals can be achieved. It doesn't matter what is happening in your life. You can still achieve your emotional goals. So many moons ago, I lived in a seaside country town. And it was about an hour's drive to the next sort of grocery shops where I'd go grocery shopping. And I'd only do that every 4 to 6 weeks. But we lived in this little country town, seaside town. And I was in a very emotionally abusive relationship at that stage. I had had 3 children under the age of 3. Then I worked out what was causing that and stopped, as you do. I have got 3 beautiful children. And when I was going through my situation and living this area, at that stage in life, the woman didn't get any money. So I didn't receive any money. I wasn't working. I had 3 kids under the age of 3. So I couldn't work. And my ex was on unemployment. So he got all the money and then he did what he wanted to do with it, which a lot of the times was going to the pub and drinking that. So anything I did, I had to ask permission to do. I had to ask if I wanted money. And the playgroup, which was where I would take the children, because that's all we had. We didn't have any kindy or anything. I would take the kids to playgroup once a week. And at the playgroup, all the mothers just got together, usually at someone's house once a week, and the kids could interact and get that social interaction. And of course, the parents, the mothers actually had a chance to have a little bit more of a life. So we would meet for playgroup once a week. Now, I would have to ask for the $2 to go to playgroup. And the playgroup, I was actually the president of the playgroup. So it was really quite challenging to know that, you know, he had the control over whether I could actually attend as a president or whether I couldn't go that week, you know. So it was really quite gaslighty is the word they use nowadays. But it was really quite controlling and quite hard. And of course, you've got to remember from high school, I had this strong goal, and I won't call them goals as much as their intentions. I had these strong intentions to be able to help people. So going to playgroup was my way of being able to help people. I could help the other ladies that were in the group and what they were experiencing and what they were going through. I could help the kids by creating new things and discovering new ways of painting walls or whatever it was. But it was always felt like I was helping. So to be the president, and of course, you don't get paid for that. That's a charity thing. But to be in a higher role was my way of being able to help. So it was really satisfying my analytical side of me. At the same time, it was satisfying that emotional side of me. So even though my goal wasn't to, I'm going to be the president of the Rainbow Beach Playgroup, that wasn't my intention. But my intention was, I want to help people, and I can do that in so many ways. So if you could imagine, I've got 3 kids that stage, they would have been under the age of 4 then. So I've got 3 close kids, president of the playgroup, no money at all, have to ask for everything, even to go shopping. I would have to write down a shopping list. He would go through and add up what I needed and give me the money for that. So if I'd missed anything out, and I only shopped, as I said, once every 4 to 6 weeks, if I missed anything out, I just couldn't get it. And there was a lot of times I'd be at the checkout and you're basically trembling because you sort of think, oh, my God, I don't know if I've got enough money. I don't know if I've got enough money. And so you'd start to put things back. So there was a lot of areas in my life that were quite challenging. And I would imagine there'd be a lot of areas in your life, too, that are quite challenging. But you've got to remember, your emotional goals can still be achieved even when you're experiencing these things. And it's really, really important to actually focus on those. Sure, you might not be able to achieve a SMART goal at this stage, whereas I want $1 million in 3 weeks' time and I'm going to do it this way and da-da, you know, like where you go through the SMART goal. You may not be able to do that, but there's no reason why you can't achieve your emotional goal. Why you can't achieve your emotional intentions. Now, again, this sounds a little bit all over the place. Bear with me. I am going to get through this. But I want you to understand why following our emotional goals is so important. Now, the other area I want to look, I forgot to tell you, as the president of the Playgroup Association, this is how I was helping people too, the other area to it. I was nominated in 1989, I think it was, for the Australian Citizen of the Year. Now, it's a very prestigious event. I knew nothing about it. We didn't have internet in those days, so I had no idea what was going on. One of the high-ranking ladies in that town, she nominated me, and she was a very well-known businesswoman, and she nominated me to go into this Australian Citizen of the Year. I didn't understand what it was. I didn't know what it was about. Again, I was a little bit railroaded by my ex in the fact that he said, oh, it's just a fundraising activity. Don't worry about it. It means nothing. And I believed him. Wow, I had to learn not to believe him. But I did believe him. And when it came to the night of the event, I couldn't go because, again, I had no money. He wouldn't look after the children. He went to the pub. I had no money to pay a babysitter. I didn't even have money to put petrol in the car to get to where the event was. So I had to believe him because I just didn't know what else to do. And I had to sort of say, no, I can't make it to the dinner. I'll have to pick up the award another day. And brushed it off. And it wasn't until 10, 15 years later that I found out what the actual award was and how prestigious it was. I did not know at the time. In fact, I didn't tell anybody because I was so embarrassed about not being able to go. So can you imagine now I can look back and go, oh my goodness, I was achieving my emotional goals. My intentions were to help people. I was doing that. And I was being acknowledged for it by this lady. And it was important. It was really, really important. I didn't know at the time, and it wasn't until later on that I can actually sit back and go, oh gosh, that was pretty cool. You know, that was pretty cool. So why are emotional goals so important? Emotional goals are really important. And it's, again, we go back to that emotional intentions. The difference between a goal and attention and an intention is you intend to do something. And when you intend to do that, it is at the forefront of your mind. My intention is to help people. So whatever I do, it has that intention behind it. And because it's not a set goal, it stays with me forever. It's my intention forever at this particular stage. And it seems like it's been forever. But when it's a goal has a start and an end. An intention keeps going. And that's why I look at these as more emotional intentions. The trouble is people doesn't understand that. So I do refer to them as emotional goals, but okay, they don't have any ending. So these intentions that we have, why are they so important? When we look again and go back through it again, we start to get this understanding of what it is. What is the, why are these emotional intentions there? What's going on? Why is it that at high school, I could turn around and say, all I really want to do is help people and have no understanding at all what that meant. Nothing at all. Like, hey, I was a teenager. Like, who gives a crap? But that was really, really strong in me. And that was the only thing that could come out of my voice when I was asked that. And why these emotional intentions are so strong is because of where they're attached to, where they're coming from. And of course, you know, I talk all about intuition. So this is a way of our soul actually guiding us, and it guides us through our intentions or our emotions. So these emotional intentions or emotional goals are coming from our soul. They're coming via our intuition to us. That is why they are so particular. That is why we have them forever. Forever, I believe I will be wanting to help people. Even if it's just making the checkout chick smile when I say, hey, how's your day? You know, and just acknowledging that. And we can do it so easily. So let's go back a little bit again for what intuition is. Now, this is how I see intuition. You can see it how you want to, but this is how I see intuition. The basics is intuition is the communication between our soul, the spirit side of us, and our body, our physical side. Now, if you can imagine, we have a spiritual element in our soul. Now, the spirit doesn't have the five physical senses that we have, not in the same way. So this spirit that doesn't have five physical senses is trying to communicate with a physical body that only has those. And so there's this sort of sometimes hit and miss when we're trying to communicate with that one. That's what your intention is. It's the communication between the two. Now, I can take it another step further to make it a little bit more clearer for you. If you can imagine your body as a car, now, one of these latest cars too, these pretty fancy cars, because they've got those, they park themselves, they've got the GPS in them, they, you know when to slow down and when to speed up. They're starting to get a little bit more control over where they're going and what they're doing. And you imagine your spirit, your soul, as the driver. Now, the driver wants to get from point A to point B. The car doesn't. The car will take you there, but the car doesn't need to get from point A to point B. All the car does is basically goes where you want it, where the driver wants it to go. The car has no intentions of going to the shop. The driver has the intentions of going to the shop. And this is what it's like with our spirit and our physical body. The soul wants to go to the shop. The physical body might want to go to the beach because it likes the sunshine. And this is why this intuition, this communication is so important. It's very, very challenging. And sometimes it works the opposite way. The body, the car wants to go from point A to point B, but the soul needs to have a bit of learning and it wants to take the scenic route, not the direct route. Doesn't want to go on the highway, doesn't want to go with all those people. It wants to go on the scenic route, along the beachfront, through the mountains. And this is where we've got to get this understanding. We may feel that that's what we've got to do. We've got a goal. We need to make $1 million at such and such a time and, you know, in this way and that way and build our business and do this and do that. But the soul will have other ideas, other guidances and other learnings that it has to have. And when we think about our life purpose is not on our physical side. Our life purpose is about our spiritual side. It's what the soul's intention is when it came into this body. So we have to love our bodies just as much as we have to love that spiritual side of us. Because our bodies are our temples. Our bodies are carrying our soul, not in a physical sense, but that's where we are. That's why the soul has come into the body. When you think about it, people sort of go, well, why has a soul come into the body? If the soul knows everything, you know, we're getting all this information from our soul, from our spirit, and they've come into it. But why on earth have they done that? Because, mate, if they've already got everything, why do they need to come into a physical body? And the answer is really easy. They don't have five physical senses. They need to learn. That's why a soul is everlasting. It goes from body to body to body, and it might sit up in the space for a little while or sit up in there in heaven or wherever you want to call it. But once it's ready to come back into another body for another learning, it will come into another body for another learning. It needs to be there. The soul needs us as much as we need the soul. So it's a balance. Neither are better, neither are worse. It's a balance. And that's what's really important. So when we start to look at these emotional goals or these our intentions, our emotional intentions, it is coming from our soul. It's our intuition coming through. So when I turned around and said, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. All I know is I want to help people. That was my intuition coming through. That is what it does. So we've got this understanding now that our emotional intentions, our emotional goals are coming from our soul, are coming from our spirit. And that is why we have them that don't stop. That's why they don't stop. They go with us all the way to the end. I can imagine even as a little old lady in a nursing home, I would still want to help the little old lady beside me. Even if the little old lady was younger than me, I would still try to help her because that's me. That's what I do. So the other aspect I wanted to talk about while I'm doing this too is the difference between feelings and emotions. Now, this is the other aspect when we look at intuition, because intuition actually addresses feelings. It uses feelings to help you help guide the physical body. It's the physical body that uses emotions. Now, let me go a little bit deeper with this one. The feelings come from within, and that is that intuitive messages. What happens with emotions? Emotions are energy in motions. It's what we're expressing. What goes out is our emotion. Okay, so what is in is our feelings. You know, we get those funny feelings, those little hunches, or that doesn't quite feel right, and I don't quite know why. They're feelings. And sometimes we can sort of wake up in the morning and sort of feel a bit, for want of another word, blue. You know, feel a bit down. When we're feeling that, but when you start to express it as an emotion, it could come out as anger. It could come out as something different. You're feeling a bit down and you might get snappy. You're feeling a bit down and you might get annoyed. You're feeling a bit down and you might get frustrated. And it's coming out in different ways. So the feelings are what we're experiencing inside and emotions are what we're expressing externally. And it's quite important to know that. And even though when I'm talking about emotional goals and emotional intentions, most of that is feelings. But you can't say feeling goals or feeling intentions. Well, you can, but people don't understand it and it doesn't make sense. But I want you to get that background, an understanding of that, because it's really, really important. When somebody's saying how you're feeling, you can say, oh, you know, I'm feeling good. What emotions are you putting forward? I'm really grumpy, really shitty. I'm feeling good, but I'm really shitty. You know, so there's different ways of doing that. So be mindful of when we're thinking about things like that. When you get these feelings, when you get those understandings, you may not know what they are, and that's okay. I know I've woken up and there's times where I've gone, I just feel strange and I don't know what it is. And that's okay too. Because acknowledging it is a great thing. It will come through and you'll get an understanding of it. So that's the difference with feelings and emotions. Okay, so the feelings we come within and the emotions are an external. And sometimes they're not the same. So we may be feeling a bit down, but we express it in a different way. Could be anger, could be frustration, because it's hard to express feeling a bit down. So it comes out in different ways. Okay, so we've got that understanding now. We understand the emotional goals, what emotional intentions. We know where they're coming from. They're coming from our soul, and that's why an intention will stay with us. And we know the difference between the feeling and an emotion. And that's all very well and good. But what's that got to do with where we're going now? Why I wanted to talk to you on my own this time was because of my book and my online courses and what I do. Because I help people with their emotional goals. I help them understand what their intuition is actually saying to them or guiding them through with. And you know what? We do it with beautiful flower images. That's the best part. So I do intuitive flowers. I am a flower reader, but I don't read the live flowers. I read flower images. And I do that because a live flower, we use the flower essence for, right? So you have a live flower and you're connecting with the person through it with a live flower. now that we have the internet and all the rest of the things, we don't have to go live. Now, I've done, throughout my life, done a lot of healings, and you don't have to be with the person to be healing them. We can do a lot of work now because we have a better understanding of it, and we can teleport, transport that sort of information, or you're sending energy, and you can see the difference. You hear from people the difference. So I thought to myself, I've got an understanding of this. I've got an understanding of flowers, and I was thinking of doing a flower deck. And there was all the tarot cards and all the flower decks already out there, and there's lots and lots of cards there we can look at. And I thought to myself, you know what? Every human on this planet is an individual. Even identical twins are individuals. Why are we restricting ourselves to a deck of cards? Why are we restricting ourselves to anything like that? If I want to get an understanding of what my intuition is saying, why should I restrict it to a deck of cards? And this is where my head started going, woohoo, this is fun. Let's look at this. And that is why, and again, with live flower readings, why should I restrict it to what's growing locally? Or if you buy them from the shop, are they really the flowers you've chosen? So again, why are we having these restrictions? We don't need restrictions. My other area that I really wanted to focus on too is that I want to help people. Now, I can help people naturally reading flowers for them, helping them get an understanding of their intuition and what it's doing, what it's saying for them to do, or guiding them towards. So I can do that. But the other aspect is I did not want people coming to me. I know this sounds crazy. I didn't want them coming to me every month for a flower reading. That's not empowering for them. That's empowering for me. It's like, whoa, look at that. You know, that's really good. The old ego there, keep coming back to me. No, I don't want that. Yeah, I'll do a flower reading. It really helps you concrete things and get an understanding of it. And if you want to come back to me, sure. But what I really want to do is teach you how to do it. So you start to get an understanding of those intuitive messages you're receiving. Because people have said to me, how do I know it's my intuition? What am I doing? How do I develop my intuition? What's this all about? Why would I trust that? And it's really hard for people to get that understanding of it. And I still do the same. Okay, is that my head or is that my intuition coming through? And you do question it because sometimes you get some weird shit coming through. Not bad weird shit, just weird. And you sort of think, well, what on earth was that? Or you start to say things. I can remember when my friend said to me, when I went back to uni, I was 48 at the time, she said to me, and I was getting everything ready. I was putting renters in my home. I put a manager into my natural therapies clinic. My kids had just sort of moved out and they were with their partners and stuff. And I was going to head, you know, down the other end of Queensland to go to uni. And my girlfriend said to me, well, how do you know you're going to get in? You're doing all this. How do you know you're going to get in? And it was like, I'm going to get in. I'm going to get in. There was no question about it. And she sort of said, well, how do you know? And I said, well, I might not get in under the course that I'm looking at, but I'm going to get in because everything is pointing. Everything is falling in line for me to go to university. You know, and I remember one time saying to somebody, somebody said to me, well, how are you going to do that? And I said, well, I don't have to live here to go to university. And I remember thinking, where did that come from? Because I was not thinking that. It just came out of, those words came out of my mouth without me thinking. It was like, you don't need to live here. And that's when I started going, okay, let's put a renters in the house. I can pay for that. Let's do this. Let's do that. How are we going to go? And it was, everything fell into place. I knew I was supposed to be there. And that's part of that intuitive messages coming through. They come through in all different ways, but you aren't aware of it. A lot of them you're not aware of it. So why I did the flower readings and why I wanted to have the images, apart from being, we don't have to have any limitations. You think of a red rose and you Google that. Tell me how many millions you get, because it's never ending. So with this sort of situation, what we can do then is we've got an unlimited source there. We're not restricted in any way. But the beauty of flower images is the fact that, where was I going with that? The beauty of flower images is that you're not restricted. Oh, and you have that physical connection with it. So when we're looking at a deck of cards or anything like that, we've got that analytical side, the physical side to it. And that gives us ideas and understandings. And then we allow the intuitive messages to come through. So when you break down a flower image and you get that understanding of what do the petals mean, what does the stem mean, what are the leaves, what's colors mean, what does numbers mean, what does the format mean, when you get that understanding of all that, you can then go, okay, I know what that means, but what does it mean intuitively to me? And these are the signs and symbols that we get. When I say, what does it mean intuitively to me, we look at, say, a ring, you know, a ring. What does, if you have a ring sitting in your palm, a plain ring sitting in your palm, what does that mean? Now, for some people, it could mean marriage, engagement. It could be, if it's sitting in your palm, it's not on your finger, it could mean you're going to get married, you're going to get engaged. It could mean it's everlasting. A circle, it's a circle is everlasting. What else does a circle mean? What does shapes mean? And we can bring up all these different areas of it. What color is it? What does it feel like to you? And you saw a ring in somebody's hand, it could mean that your parent has just passed and that's what you've got, that's your keepsake. So you will start to get all these little messages come through from one element, from one thing that you can see, that physical element that you can see. So it's really, really clear to get an understanding of how we can get the physical side of things and allow that intuitive messages to come through. And that's why I love the idea of having the flower images. I don't know what images you're going to pick. I don't have a deck of cards that I can remember. I've just got to allow my intuitive messages to come through and go, this is what I think this means. This is what I see this. And we put the logical with the spiritual and we get that understanding, or the logical with the imagination, actually, because logical is what you know to be true in this life. Imagination is what you know to be true in your imagination, in your other lives. So we bring them together, and that's why I love flower readings. Now, if you jump onto the website, intuitivenature.com.au, Australian business, remember, there is a free workbook. I think it's under shop and resources. There's a free workbook on there and it goes through everything in flower readings, right? It's very basic. It's a workbook so you can write it down. I've put that up there so if people are wanted to do flower readings, they may get an understanding of it. You'll be able to use that if you're quite intuitive already. If you're learning, I would suggest you grab an online course. They're next to nothing, but you'll get a better understanding and it breaks it right down. Then you can use the workbook and get a better, clearer knowledge on it. Now, when I start talking about intuitive flowers, if I start talking about, say, a business goal, you will find, or even as I've been talking to you about flowers today, you will find that you've got an image in your head already. Even if it was after what I said earlier, the type of flower and the color, you may have that image in your head. You may have an image because you're watching this on the video and you can see my book in the background, which has got a flower on it. So you're going to have an image in your head. If I say to you, think of a flower, and it might be, oh, mum's favorite flower, or I've just got that growing, or that's my favorite flower, I really like that. There'll be a flower that you know of. When you start to look at that, start to think about that flower for a little bit. And although we're not really focusing on your goal with this one, because this is a quick understanding of it, we're not focusing on your goal. But I want you to go through and get a clearer understanding of it. So one of the things that you can look at is with that flower image that you've got in your mind. Now, I'm going to have to skip through a couple that are on the the worksheet because or the journal because they've taken up too much detail and I need an actual image of it because we actually look at landscape and portrait formats and things like that for positives and negatives. But there is areas that I can talk about straight up. Okay, so when you're thinking about this flower image in your head, one of the things I want to get an understanding of, is it a single flower or is it multiple flowers? Now, when I ask you, is it multiple flowers? Is it multiple flowers on one stem or is it multiple flowers as a field? Now, they're all about your relationships. If you've got a couple of flowers in there, it's about relationships and how important those relationships are for you to achieve that goal. If you're thinking about a bush of flowers, how important that is, and there a bush of flowers are more family orientated, or a tree of flowers are more family orientated, that goal is more family orientated. If it's a field of flowers, it's more like-minded people because they're all individuals, but they're all the same. So it's a field of very similar flowers. So you start to look at it in that way. So they're about your relationships. When you think about the flower, think about the stem. Now, the stem is your path or your journey to get to your goal, okay? The blossom itself is the goal. The path or the journey is your stem. And when you start to go a little bit deeper in the stem, you get an understanding of, is it a windy stem that needs support? Is it a strong stem that's holding up that flower? What's on that stem? If it's a rose, it could have thorns. What does that mean? Is it a single stem or is it branching? Is there other directions that you could have taken? Is there choices that you needed to make to get there? Decisions you have to work out. So we look at that stem and we can get an understanding of the color, understanding of the shape of it. You may not see a stem or the length of the stem. If it's a big, long, single red rose, it may have a long journey to get there, a longer journey than you anticipated. And as a bud, a flower bud, it's still budding. So it's a young goal. It's one that's not quite fully open, not quite fully ready to go yet. But you're getting there. So a long bud is good, a long stem and the bud is good. It's giving you time to grow and develop as you get to your goal. If there's no stem, then you're already there. Why aren't you doing it? You're already there. There's no stem, you're already there. Now, again, when we're choosing flower images, we're looking at our goals, it doesn't have to be our life goal. It can be our business goal. And if it was our business goal, we'd look at the petals of attraction. And as you know, petals are attraction. Petals we use to attract insects and bugs so we can keep going with our goals. So the petals are attraction. When we look at the petals of attraction in a business goal, that's your marketing. Have you got your marketing up to date? Are you doing enough for your marketing? Is there, are you using the right tone, the right language for your marketing? Because a long elongated petal is very, very masculine, shapes again, very masculine, and which means that your marketing needs to be direct, it needs to be on point, it needs to be really clear and succinct. If your petals are big and round, then your marketing needs to be soft and gentle. It needs to be relate more in the feminine aspect. It doesn't have to be targeted to feminine to females, but it's got to be feminine in how you're bringing it forward. You're bringing it forward gently using the right tone, right language. Of course, we've got color in all that with the emotions. And there's just such a lot to go through in flower reading. But the beauty again is that you can take one little element out of it and go, okay, what does that color mean to me? And when you're doing one of the courses, you'll get a color chart. And there's just, there's 8 different meanings for that particular color. You don't have to stay with those. These are just gives you ideas. If red always means passion to you, or it always means danger to you, or sometimes it means passion and sometimes it means danger, then you will allow your intuition to come through and get an idea of that. And when I'm doing my paint and sip workshops, so with the paint and sip workshop, you actually come in and you draw your flower. You don't know you're drawing a flower, you're drawing a goal. So, and we actually do a guided visualization and it becomes a flower. and then you paint that flower. When you're doing the flower painting and different things, then we do a reading on it. So when you're going right through all these details and things like that, you may find that the color yellow means something particular to you, but because you've got it on a particular goal and you've gone into a particular day and all the other things are lining up, it's your intuition that will choose what that color means. It's your intuition will choose what color to use when you're doing a paint set. And it's the same when you look, I say to you, think of a flower. You will have a particular color in mind and we will go right through all that and the emotions. But when you get your chart out and you go, well, what does it mean to me? It may mean that color, that's okay for red. It may mean passion this time, but next time it might mean, oh no, just be careful. You may be putting a bit too much out. The red's going in from a light red to a dark red, and that's going towards your heart center, to the center of the flower. It could mean that there's something not quite being shown there before it gets to the heart. So be aware of that. Take be mindful of that, and that's how we go. Now, I'm starting to run out of time. Jump onto the website, grab that free a workbook or a journal, a free journal. It'll give you a bit of an understanding. No, it won't give you a lot of understanding, but if you get the book, the journal's really good to be able to fill out the workbook and get an understanding of it. When you read the book, the way I explain it is that we go through each element at a time. We're not reading the whole picture. We're reading each element at a time. And as we read each element, you get your intuitive messages coming through. You start to get this synchronicity coming through and it all starts to make sense. And then you start looking at the picture as a whole and you go, oh, well, we talked about that there. They're starting to line up. It means something. And that's what you can bring forward. So flower reading is such a great way of understanding what your intuition, well, it's showing you, it's visual. And when you're drawing it, when you're doing a workshop and you're drawing your flower, everything about it is intuitive. You're visualizing it to start with. You might not be able to draw exactly what you visualize, but you can draw something around that. And then you're doing a reading on it. So you're getting the intuitive messages on the reading. So intuitive message while you're doing your visualization, intuitive ideas while you're doing the drawing, and then intuitive messages or symbols while you're doing the reading. Everything about it, it's creative goal setting for those who love doing the creative side of it. So that's what it was all about today. Your emotional goals are all about your intentions in life, which is coming from your soul. Okay, so that's what's really important. So when you make your goals up for 2023, 2024, whenever you decide to listen to this, even if it's a midway through the years, when you're doing up your goals, think about flowers. Think about what your flower means, how you want to feel when you achieve that goal. So for a business goal, it'd be, how do you want to feel when you feel successful in your business and you get that feeling? Then you go, okay, that's how I want to feel. What does that look like in a flower image? And when I did my business goal, which is in the book, all I could see was pink and white and it was round shape. So I had to Google pink and white flowers and you can imagine how many millions came up then. So pink and white flowers, and I started to scroll through them. This is where it takes a little bit of time, but it's really worthwhile. I scrolled through them. That picture, save that one, that was sort of bringing it in. That picture looks like it or similar. That picture, and I probably had about five pictures. And then I came to one and I went, oh, that picture gives me the feeling that I got, the feeling that I wanted. And I got the picture. Now, as you can imagine, I knew how to do flower rings. I didn't want a landscape picture. I wanted a square picture. This picture came as a landscape. So I tried to change it and made it square. As soon as I made it square, I lost the feeling. Not the emotion, I lost the feeling. So I had to bring it back to a landscape and then do the reading on it. And that makes a huge difference. It made a huge, I had a really big aha moment in it. But that's in the book, and that, you know, I'm running out of time, so I can't do that. But anyway, if you want to learn how to do flower readings, and that's what, if you want to do it, if you want me to do a flower reading, sure, jump on the website and I can do that for you, not a problem. If you want to learn how to do flower readings, then jump in and jump onto one of the courses. So the courses start from the real basics, just to give a taste, see what it's like, see if you like it, right up to a professional course where you actually can go out and do the sip and paint workshops that I'm talking about. Okay, you can actually do it. You've got everything in there to do that. So that's me. I've got to go because we're running out of time. I hope you enjoy that. I hope you get something out of it. Jump onto the website, judithnature.com.au. And have a look, because you're going to really enjoy flower readings. It's so much fun, and you can see what your intuition is telling you, not what a card is telling you, what your intuition is actually telling you. It's just gold. You've got to have a go. All right, that's me. I'm saying bye for now, and I'll see you next week. Okay, all the best. Bye.